I'm Brian Goldfinger of Goldfinger Injury Lawyers, and you know what makes me mad? When insurance companies deny your claim for no good reason. That's why people call me. I'm the lawyer insurance companies don't want to deal with. Visit goldfingerlaw.com and get us working for you. Get Goldfinger today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, William Liu. First off, apologies for this podcast coming out a little late. I don't know. Just a lot of losses on a Friday night, you know. The Score FC lost a contentious 3-2 game, shouldn't have lost. And then the Raptors followed up with a similar performance, losing a contentious game that they shouldn't have lost. Dropping 97-93. Didn't really want to watch the replay at like midnight. I don't think anyone is watching anyway. But so let's talk about this game. First off, credit to the Jazz for staying solid, staying composed. Obviously, they're going through some tough times right now, losing Gordon Hayward. Which was the bulk of their offense. The Jazz had been in a bit of a slide. They had some bad losses. They're not good on the road at all. 7-19 away coming into this game. That was only 6-19 on the road. And, you know, they were going to a tough place to play. The Raptors, 17-3 at home coming into this game. But a couple things that happened in this game to reverse the fortunes. First off, the Raptors, were sluggish in the first quarter. I thought the bench didn't come out well with the right energy that they normally do, allowing, the likes of, Rudy Gobert and Derek Favors to be super physical and scoring inside too much. A lot of penetration early in this game. The Raptors gave up the early lead, whatever. Came back strong in the second quarter. The starters really launched a great run there. Just playing solid basketball, playing through Jonas, who JV was excellent in this game. Pretty much the only highlight of this game was how well JV played. But, just to start the second quarter, which the Raptors won 24-15, it was a lot of DeLon Wright finding CJ Miles. There was 3 assists from DeLon to Miles in that second quarter alone, leading to 8 points. DeLon just has a great chemistry with Miles in terms of how to find a shooter like that, especially in transition. And DeLon is able to push the pace, collapse the defense, find Miles, always keeps his head up, always knows where shooters are. So good execution on that front. The Raptors defense picked it up. The Jazz bench is also trash. I mean, like Jerebko, Royce O'Neal, Raul Neto, Joe Johnson, who, is not trash necessarily, but this game he couldn't do shit. And then even Alec Burks, he didn't do much. So the Raptors were able to make a run, and then the starters came in, followed up, more of the same effort. JV was beasting on the inside. OG had a putback dunk that was very legitimately impressive. He was jumping from under the rim, kind of even behind the backboard, like really close to the edge of the baseline, and he was able to twist his body and finish the dunk. Very athletic play. DeRozan making a couple great passes in that stretch, Ibaka making some shots. So Raptors enter halftime with the lead. Again, third quarter, a bit of a letdown. Raptors came out okay, not great. The starters played into an even. A couple ticky-tack fouls kind of put the Raptors in the bonus, or put the Jazz in the bonus, which wasn't great, but ultimately this wasn't a game where the Jazz killed us in the free throw department. It's not a big deal there. What was a big deal, I thought, in the third quarter was Dwayne Casey going to Van Vliet first instead of, DeLon Wright off the bench for his first sub. Now, first off, generally speaking, the Raptors don't downsize with their first sub. They usually go to CJ Miles or someone like that, or even Siakam. But the Raptors wanted to take out OG, who wasn't doing much on offense aside from dunking twice. And they wanted to go with Van Vliet to space the floor because the offense wasn't going. I get that perspective. But at the same time, the Raptors' 3-point game just wasn't on all night. At one point, they were 4 of 20. Shout out to 420, but and at the end of the game, 7-27, which is still not great. But I think the rationale there to bring Van Vliet on was okay. Maybe he can space the floor, drive the paint a little bit. The issue with that is that left Van Vliet out there to play defense. And generally speaking, Van Vliet is fine. It's pretty good overall, especially as a help defender. But he was tasked with guarding Donovan Mitchell, and this is the thing: Mitchell had up to this point was more or less quiet. But as soon as Van Vliet got on him, Mitchell was just very smart, got very aggressive, and it really helped spark his confidence. First play right off the bat when Van Vliet got subbed in and it was guarding Mitchell, Mitchell cuts baseline, out-muscles Van Vliet, gets the pass under the rim, gets a foul, shoots free throws. And then he hits two jumpers just over Van Vliet. I mean, one of them was just like, you know, the defender didn't step up on the screen. I think it was JV. And Van Vliet, you know, gets caught up on the Rudy Gobert screen. Rudy Gobert is a very wide dude. Gobert is just a really weirdly dimensioned guy. Like, he's really skinny, but he's really wide. He's like almost two-dimensional, but I don't know. Anyway, okay, that one's mostly fine, whatever. You need some help on that one. He wasn't really get going at that point. But the issue is, like, you know, a bigger defender would have been able to recover and at least contest a shot a little bit. And especially, you know, a couple plays later, Mitchell sees Van Vliet and just rises up and shoots over him again. And this is the thing. This is not necessarily a good shot. But when you have a guy like Van Vliet, who's so small and so short, like, it's just, it's not the best option to have against a guy like Mitchell, who, you know, even though he's like 6'2 and a half, the man is very physical, very strong, and is a very capable shooter. And when he releases a shot, it's at a very high point since he has a really, you know, long arms. So I thought for my money, I would have DeLon Wright in there instead, especially since DeLon Wright played really well in the first half. Weirdly enough, DeLon Wright doesn't see any time in the third quarter. It's mostly Van Vliet. Van Vliet catches an L there. And then DeLon Wright comes in the fourth quarter and he starts making plays. Like, you know, he hits a three. He has some nice passes. Rebounding-wise, he was all right. Like, you know, DeLon ends up playing the entire fourth quarter, which is just strange. Like, it's just strange in terms of how you would manage those minutes. I thought that was a big gamble by... That was a misstep, really. Not even a gamble. That was just a misstep by Dwayne Casey. And then, you know, it's a close game heading into the fourth quarter. Raptors' defense is mostly doing all right. Offense wasn't doing great, but the Jazz are pretty tough interior defense. They're very physical. They're very disciplined, whatever. So it's a close game. And we know how close games go with the Raptors. Like, this year, the Raptors have just not been good in close games, period. Like, it's just not good for them. And I thought the Raptors were out of the woods. Not necessarily off some great execution, but, you know, the Raptors had a 6-point lead, led 91-85 with about 2 minutes and 20 seconds left. The two previous possessions, the Raptors were able to get DeRozan into the paint. You know, heads up, he finds JV down under the rim. JV puts his shoulder into Gobert, neutralizing the shot blocker, finishes. JV at that point has 28 points. All right, great performance at that point. Well, 26 points. He ends up getting another two. And then the next possession was Lowry pushing the pace, draws a, you know, whatever. He draws a foul. The Jazz are in the bonus. Lowry goes to the line, splits a pair of free throws. The Raptors are up 6 with 2 minutes and 20 seconds left. That should be a win, especially at home. Like, come on, against a team like the Jazz who just can't generate offense, like, you should win that game. But the Raptors' execution down the stretch was not good. And, you know, that's something that, you know, that really needs to be looked at by the Raptors. You look at, in terms of the first play the Raptors ran, DeRozan slows the pace. He spreads the floor. He runs that 1-2 screen with Lowry. You know, it wasn't a great play in terms of just like that 1-2 screen. It works sometimes. Like, it worked really well against the Bucks, but it doesn't, it depends. It's situational. Like, all plays are situational, right? Like, it's not like anyone's going to run an unstoppable play. I mean, except for, you know, Steph and KD pick and roll. Like, there's not like anyone's going to run an unstoppable play where no matter what the defense does, it's going to give up a good shot. Like, you know, in this case, it's not the best play, but I get it. Like, it's to get your best score in an advantageous situation with the floor spread, and you can control the outcome to a limited set of outcomes, which is fine. But the issue is when you limit yourself to the set of outcomes, it's just like, that's it. You generate one thing on the possession, and that's it. And if they stop you, and if, especially since if you run the same play over and over again, the defense is eventually going to stop you. There's no element of surprise. And so you're pretty much always getting a contested shot. And even if you're getting a contested shot for your good player, you know, your best player, that's still not good enough. Anyway, so Raptors run the 1-2 screen. DeRozan uses a spin move, actually gets good separation. Defense doubles him temporarily. DeRozan doesn't see Lowry open for three. DeRozan ends up getting stuck. They have to reset the possession. Raptors end up with a bad shot where Lowry heaves up a 35-foot brick that is contested and it doesn't go anywhere. Going the other end, the Raptors play defense all right. Like, DeRozan gets hung up on a screen with Ricky Rubio. Again, Gobert, the two-dimensional you know, parallelogram that he is. I mean, it's just hard to get around him. They force a switch. Rubio's attacking JV on a drive. It's not a big deal. Like, I don't really care about Rubio attacking JV on a drive. Like, what's the worst that can happen? He gets a 2-point layup, like a contested shot. Not too worried about that. Maybe Rubio dribbles it back out and he goes to Gobert in the post. But Gobert in the post is not a great possession. Like, it just isn't. And it's also easy to double a guy like that. So that's fine. But the issue is Kyle Lowry randomly, you know, leaves Joe Ingles, who's a legitimately good three-point shooter. Lowry leaves him for no reason to help against Rubio. Doesn't even disrupt the play whatsoever. Rubio ends up finding Ingles. He hits a three. It's a three-point game. It's like, all right. So that's just not good. All right, so Dwayne Casey calls a timeout. You know, they go to their one of, they have basically two pet plays, right? If it's live action, they're going to run 1-2 pick and roll with Lowry. If it's a timeout, the Raptors go to this play. Well, sometimes if after a timeout, they'll still run 1-2 pick and roll, but they go to the other play, which, you know, is most famous for creating that Corey Joseph game winner against Washington, which was like 2 years ago. But pretty much the idea is to draw up a 4-on-4 set where a point guard is in the backcourt. So, you know, he pulls a defender at least to half court. So it's not effective. So basically a 4-on-4 set where the Raptors, you know, have their bigs just cross, where DeRozan comes from the weak side away from the ball to the strong side towards the ball on the inbound. And, you know, it goes from there. The idea is to get, you know, DeRozan some separation. And some spacing. In this case, it worked well. DeRozan draws a crowd. DeRozan's able to find JV in the middle of the floor. JV's able to get fouled, and he finishes 2 free throws. It's a 5-point game. Again, the Raptors should be able to just close this game out. I mean, the thing is, the Raptors even get the stop the next play, right? Like, Lowry, again, he gambles off Rubio, which, you know, whatever. Like, Rubio's not a good shooter. It's fine to gamble off Rubio. In this case, he just completely ditches Rubio, and he ends up helping on a drive by Donovan Mitchell. Mitchell's already in the air at this point, so he ends up throwing a turnover. Lowry gets the loose ball. The loose ball goes out of bounds. Lon Wright makes a very athletic play to save the ball to Lowry. You know, I didn't think necessarily it was great defense, but it worked out. It's a gamble. It's an acceptable one. I understand. And again, it worked out. And then so the Raptors come out the other play. You come back up the floor. It's a 1-2 screen again, which, again, doesn't work. This time, the reason is Lowry doesn't really catch Joe Ingles and doesn't set enough of a screen that Ingles is delayed. So Ingles is able to recover and get straight to the spot that DeRozan's getting to, because everyone knows DeRozan wants to get to the middle of the floor around that elbow area and take that jumper. So Ingles is able to meet DeRozan there, stop him. The play completely stagnates. The ball ends up going to JV in the corner. And then JV dribbles it, and then Lowry makes a cut towards the rim, gets a contested shot, and misses. It's just not great. Off the miss, Mitchell is able to rip the rebound and go 1-on-3 and draw a foul off Lowry. That's just elite talent right there. Like, how many players can go 1-on-3 and get a call, right? So that's just a elite offense there. So I don't really blame them too much for that. You know. Mitchell hits 2 free throws. At this point, it's a, I don't know, what is it, like a 2, it's a 2-point game. And the Raptors run 1-2 a screen. Again, the Jazz shuffle up their look. They instead, this time, they have Rubio show on DeRozan. Lowry is pretty smart. He snuffs this out. He kind of like pushes Rubio a little bit, or just basically nudges him so that Rubio kind of steps out a little bit too far. DeRozan's able to turn the corner on Rubio. He's able to rise up straight up for a shot on the mid-range at the elbow. Like, we know where he's going. Everyone knows where he's going. Rubio's able to actually come back into the play, but since DeRozan's able to rise up and whatever, it was a good shot. He just doesn't end up hitting it. I can live with that. Next play down the floor, 2-point game. Mitchell isolates against Wright up top, drives past Wright. It doesn't even drive past Wright, sorry. Basically, the floor is spread, right? So there's like 3 guys on the baseline. Where JV is sort of just pretty much able to be right at the rim. Mitchell drives towards the middle of the floor. Lowry, again, is just helping, like, gambling, like, out of nowhere. Like, he kind of doubles Mitchell, and he leaves Ricky Rubio wide open. And, again, it's not that big of a deal to leave Ricky Rubio wide open, but what are you doing helping on Mitchell like that? Like, it's just, it doesn't make sense. There's a screen cap on the 10 things I wrote. You can go look at that. It's not a bad idea to double off Rubio, but it's a bad idea to double off in that fashion. And Mitchell finds Rubio open for 3. Rubio hits a 3. Raptors are down at this point. And then finally they call a timeout. Dwayne Casey goes back to that 4-on-4 play. Ibaka is wide open in the corner. He's supposed to be there to drag Rudy Gobert away from the basket, but Gobert, instead of guarding Ibaka, completely ignores him in the weak side corner and goes to double DeRozan off the catch. DeRozan isn't able to get the shot, isn't able to pretty much find Ibaka over those long arms. And also, it's a Kobe shot. Like, whatever. I'm sure DeRozan yelled Kobe as he shot it. And he bricked it. It's a contested shot. Joe Ingles doesn't, again, is able to elude the screen, track DeRozan. And that's the game. That's the game. I thought, you know, if you're going to run that 4-on-4 play, I don't mind having two bigs out there because you kind of need an outlet in the middle of the floor. And I would have liked to see JV on the floor instead of... Like, I actually wouldn't mind a JV inbounding the ball instead of CJ Miles. Because, like, all those three-point shooters at that point are just completely superfluous. Like, no one... The Raptors... When have you ever seen the Raptors end a game where they pass to an open three-point shooter and hit the shot? Like, pretty much, I have to reference Corey Joseph 2 years ago to name this play. Because that's essentially the last time it worked in that fashion, right? And... Yeah, I mean... You know, there's nobody in the middle of the floor. So when DeRozan gets doubled, there's no way he can, you know... release pressure, because if there was someone in the middle of the floor, for example, that person's able to catch the pass from DeRozan and he can swing it to Ibaka on the weak side, or he can drive it towards the basket. Either way, there's only one defender in Gobert guarding the two of them. But yeah, not great from the Raptors. In terms of your three stars, I mean, that's pretty much the game. The Raptors execution in the crunch time is a real concern. To note a couple things, Lowry just was trash in this game altogether. Like I mentioned, the decision-making in the crunch time, a lot of it was not great. But overall, Lowry, 5 points on 2 of 14 shooting, 0 of 6 on the 3-point line, missed a free throw, 1 rebound all game, 7 assists against 5 turnovers, minus 6 in 35 minutes. Just a trash performance from Kyle Lowry. And you know what he says after the game? Nothing about his performance. I would kind of like you to take some responsibility and say, you know what, my bad. I didn't perform like I showed up tonight. I made some plays that weren't there. You know, we're better than this. I know I'm better than this. I'll come back strong. Just say something like that. Say something like that for once, but nothing. You know, the pattern of behavior there is pretty clear. I mean, just go back and look at what's said after the playoffs every year. Disappointing. Very disappointing, but not necessarily surprising. Valanciunas obviously very strong. 28 points, 14 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, 4 blocks on 12 of 16 shooting, made 2 threes. Excellent game for Valanciunas in 27 minutes. Was in a bit of foul trouble. That wasn't like Dwayne Casey didn't want to play JV. It just wasn't foul trouble. But yeah, JV was excellent. I mean, he gets all 3 stars, really, because I don't know if anyone else really stepped up that much. Yeah, it was just disappointing. And then in terms of the Gerald Henderson Award, I mean, I guess you got to give it to Rubio for hitting that shot. You know, so for honestly, like, Rubio's a solid player. I've always liked Rubio a lot. I mean, his game is not nearly as pretty as it was before, but the game of basketball has changed a lot since Rubio came in, and it's hard for non-scoring point guards, and Rubio's a non-scoring point guard, but he hit that three, so let's give him that Jordan Henderson. Anyway, thank you for listening to the podcast. Read my 10 things. I got a lot more details and screen caps about just how the crunch time execution was in there. And yeah, I'll be back on Saturday to talk about the Lakers game. Peace.